The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243AD Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.
Welcome inside the Cave here at Siena Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com on this Monday evening. And kicking off the show here tonight is Josh Riley with Siena Heights University. He's on the horn. Well, good evening, Josh. Welcome to the show.
You've got J.K., the baseball coach, Josh.
Oh, I thought Josh was calling in. I got a message from him, and he said he was calling in at 5:55. So, okay, well, I knew you were here, John. It's actually John Kolesinski then, the baseball coach for Siena Heights University. Are you at a game right now, John?
I am. I'm in my office here. We have a JV game against Adrian College going on in our diamond, and part of our responsibility is to supervise it. So I'm here in the diamond watching the game, and I've got Coach Bob with me, an alum who's helping us coach here, and then I got Thomas Backway, one of our players in here too as well. So we're multitasking today right now.
So how's the game going? Can you give us an update?
7-5 from that team across town in the bottom of the fourth.
Okay. Well, you guys got a great night for the game.
Compared to what we went through yesterday, yeah.
So, okay. Well, tell us a little bit about how the season's gone so far and the lead-up to the season. I know we had some, you know, cold weather this past week, but it's going to stay, I think, warmer after we get through the rain and stuff coming up, I think, tomorrow. But it's going to be mostly in the 50s, so that's not so bad going ahead, right?
No, it's not. And actually, we are only... We haven't lost a game. Well, we've had them reschedule one doubleheader to the weather. So we're right on schedule to play all our games. Even in the month of February, we only spent 5 days inside in the field house. With the weather in February being so nice, we were able to get outside on the turf here every day except for those 5 days. So we've been very fortunate with the spring. Now, the past weekend, 3-4 days, we hit a cold spell there, but you always get one of those, and we had it, and hopefully it's over and done with now. So,
well, you got maybe a little bit of an extra bump with daylight savings being scooched a little bit back into early March this year. You got a little bit, maybe a little more daylight towards the end of the day to get out and do some things?
Yeah, that does help. Yeah, it's helped. Helps keep the temperatures warmer for you too to practice and do everything. And even tonight with this JV game going on here, we probably won't even have to turn the lights on. And if we do, it'll be very, very quickly that we turn the lights on. So,
that's all of it goes in together and helps. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what's happened so far in the run up to the season and how the season has started, and where's the ball club at this point?
We've gone off to a pretty good start, a solid start. We're 9-13 after the spring trip, or including the spring trip and then the games up here. We're 3-3 in the conference right now. And that's, you know, it's early in the conference, et cetera. But we've been very competitive in the games that we've played. With the schedule that we play and some of the people that we play, top 25 teams such as Cumberland's and the Warners and that, we, you know, Cumberland had to walk us off down in Florida on the spring trip. We've got a good feeling as to what's going on. I think we have somebody usually, there's a different guy every day that's stepping up if somebody doesn't have a great day. But we've been very competitive, and we have a good feeling with the club going into this weekend, another four-game conference weekend on Thursday and Saturday with the Easter weekend, that we can continue to do the good things that we've been doing and see how far it'll take us.
Can you give me your assessment of let's start with the pitching staff and where you think they're at the early part of the season?
It's interesting. We're finally getting into, I think, where we're settling into our spots, into our roles, I should say, where we're going to have have found our starters. We've got a couple guys back healthy, Ken Lehman and Matt Love, who were started the year a little banged up, are now full go and ready to go, which just gives us added depth and quality on the mound. We feel good about the people that we have on the mound, and that they will give us innings. They'll be able to throw strikes, and then we have enough people that we have the depth that if we get backed up with games, that we're worried we'll be able to be competitive and win ball games with the people that we have there. I mean, our number one guy right now is little Luke Olson, who's like 5'7", 145, and left-hander, and he just throws knee to knee, and he's 3-0 right now. So he's done a great job for us, and we've got other people that have backed him up, or if he goes 6 or 7, that can come in relief. So we've slotted people into roles, and we feel good in the direction that we're going.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, pitching depth is key, especially if you happen to run into weather during different parts of the season, and as you say, the schedule can get backed up. So it's kind of important to have that depth.
It is. It is. And it's also important to get through the first two weekends here that we have, where we didn't get backlogged a lot. The weather did allow us to play. We just had to remove one doubleheader and make up one doubleheader. Sometimes if you lose that first weekend of conference and the second weekend, you know, and you're behind 6 to 8 games, that can make it very difficult for you.
So. Okay, well, let's kind of move on a little bit here and talk some more about the club. Talk to me a little bit about defensively, and who are the guys that are out there doing all the fielding?
Well, I think defensively, if you look at our third baseman, Cole Van Wachanova from Airport, he is defensively as good as anybody around. Won a National Gold Glove Award here a couple of years ago with the NAI in his sophomore season. Has some range and has some ability to cut balls down into the hole and the shortstop hole goes to his left well. Geno Hutchinson, our center fielder from San Francisco, has the ability and does cover a lot of ground out there for us, and especially in our ballpark, which is a very big ballpark. He has that ability to get to the gaps and run balls down for us there. The key thing for us defensively is to make the routine play, and anytime that we can make the game boring and make the routine play and get the routine out, we'll be successful, keep ourselves in the ball game and a chance to win. So another guy that helps too is getting back Kenny Lehman back into the field out of the DH role where he's healthy. Where he can play first base, that helps us defensively very well. He's a very good defensive first baseman. So I think those are three guys that I would look at to say are our key defensive people at this point.
You mentioned he was getting back. How is the health of the club, and how has it been so far this year?
I'm knocking on my desk as we as you talk or you ask that question, and then it's been pretty good. Last year we went through a rash of injuries. This year we have had very few, and the people who have, it's been little nicks and knacks, and the guys that we had to get back healthy have gotten healthier as the spring went along. Ken Lehman and Matt Love, they've worked their way back into the pitching rotation. We didn't know when it would happen, but it's happened now, and it's a big plus for us. So going into this weekend, we're 99% healthy with things that we can do.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, that always helps. Would you characterize the club as like a veteran club, maybe on the younger side, or is it a good mix on the squad?
No, it's a veteran club. No question about it. There's, 15 seniors, Tom? We have 15 seniors on the club, so it's a group that's been through the trials and tribulations or what the college season is like. They've been through the conference play, what the other teams are like, what it takes to win ball games in the conference, outside the conference, what it takes to prepare for a game, how to handle your classwork and your homework and that so that you're ahead of schedule, et cetera, those types of things when it comes game time. And if you do get backlogged, it has that all handled and ready to go. So this group has been a very good group of young men over the 4 years that they've been here, that senior group, and their preparation this year has been outstanding.
Well, looking at the players that are attracted to Siena Heights, what kind of sort of is your recruiting footprint here in the whatever area it is, and your assessment of maybe the quality of at least high school baseball here in southeastern Michigan?
Well, I think when you look at that, you've got to look at you got to look at, one, the guy that can come in and play right away, or two, the guy that's got to develop. And, you know, here I sit in the office, and Thomas is sitting here with me too, and I can let him answer a little bit about what he was looking for when he came to school, or I don't know if you're going to get to that. But here's a guy that spent a couple years on our JV club and developed into a varsity player, and last year had 3 home runs and 5 home runs and 30 RBIs, did a great job for us. And if you look out on this diamond here today, this is what we're trying to do with guys now, is develop them so that in a year or two they will step up like Thomas and be ready to play as well. As what Adrian is doing here with their young men too in this game. The Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference is a very good baseball conference. I think sometimes people don't understand how good it is. There are a couple guys in this conference right now that are pitching in the big leagues. It is not unusual for this conference to have 4 or 5 guys drafted every year and get a chance to play professional baseball from that part. And it's not unusual when you see some of the midweek matchups in this conference whoever is represented in the conference will be a MAC school in a midweek matchup too. That's not unusual. The quality of baseball is very, very good in this conference. So you got to get the kid. You got to look for the 2 kids. You got to look for the guy that can step in and play right away. And you got to look for the guy and say, well, I think he can develop and then help us down the line and go from there, help your program down the line to win ball games.
Well, I mean, without mentioning anyone in particular, do you look at the Lenawee County schools? I mean, I know last year Clinton and Adrian had successful seasons, and both of them could be pretty good again this year. Just some of those schools locally that you take a look at, some of their players?
Yes, we're always looking at the local players, looking at any player, no question about that. I think the toughest player in the years that I've been here, the toughest player to recruit is the local player. And why? Because the local player, what's a person want to do when they graduate high school? They want to get on their own.
Yeah.
Right? So that makes it a little bit more difficult to keep the local guy here. And we've had successful local guys, no question about that, all the way through. But that is one of the things that goes. So, yes, we look at all schools and programs and that type of thing as to who can help us right away and who can help us down the line.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, way, way back when I graduated, which was a long time ago, my father and my uncle were both teaching at Ader in college. But, boy, that was too close.
Sure.
Yeah, so that can be an issue, right? You want to get out of town.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
Right? You want to get out on your own. You want to see what you can go and do. That's part of what goes on. Sometimes you don't run into that, but majority of the time that is something that you run into.
Yeah, you want to get out on your own, see what you can do. And I didn't necessarily want my dad and uncle to see what it is I was doing. So sometimes you got to go somewhere else. Okay. You talked to us. We're going to get to that in a couple of minutes. Is your next ball games coming up? Is it going to be this weekend?
We are here Thursday with a doubleheader with Rochester, conference doubleheader. With the Easter weekend, we will play Thursday, Saturday, as the university doesn't allow us to play on Good Friday or Easter.
Right.
So we break it up and go Thursday, Saturday this week. So we're home Thursday at 1, and then on Saturday we travel to Grand Rapids to play Aquinas in the conference doubleheader.
So, how many games you normally play in a season?
We're allowed to play 50 games, and we come pretty close to that every year. I think last year we ended up in the 47 or 48 range, and this year we are on a track to play all 50 at this point. So it's a lot of baseball. At this point, it's usually 4 games a week, maybe 5 games a week, when you throw in that midweek game and go from there. And if you get a little weather or rain, you got to move around, and you know it could be 4 games in 2 days or 5 games in 3 days, something like that. So
do you normally look at a schedule like that? You normally look at something like a 5-man rotation, 4 or 5-man rotation?
Yeah, usually we are in a 4-man rotation with our weekend people. And then if we are forced to play in the midweek to make something up, we'll use one of our long relievers or our second long reliever to start those games. So sometimes you're really looking at 4 to 6 guys at a point. It's awful difficult to bring a young man back on 3 days rest or 2 days rest. That just doesn't work. So you do have to have an extended pitching staff with more guys on it and available and ready to go to give you the right outcome, the right production from them.
And so how many total players do you have on the squad this year?
We have 32 on our varsity squad, and we have another 15 on our JV team right now. So we have 47 guys in the program.
And so certainly that will allow you to have some kind of depth if you run into injury or weather and postponement problems. That's a good squad.
Yeah, so that's just about the right numbers, yes, all the way around. You have depth, but you also have the ability to play people, too, so that they can stay sharp and be able to contribute when you need them.
So has the team developed goals for the season, and if so, what might those be?
Well, I think our first goal every year is to get into the conference tournament and either to win the regular season in your conference or win the conference tournament so you can advance on to postseason play into the national tournament. I think that's the goal that anybody in this program would have and any of the players would have every year. That's, I think, the goal of any team. The goal of any team is to win the last game you play.
Oh, absolutely.
There's only one team in every sport that's going to be able to say that at the end of the year. Even as we go through March Madness now, there's going to be one team here in a couple of weeks that says they won the last game that they played. To get that opportunity, you got to win your regular season or you got to get into the conference tournament.
So, John, did you mention, do you have anyone from the squad there with you?
I do. I have Thomas Backway here from the squad with us. So,
we need to take a break right now, and so when we get done with the break, we can come back and talk with Thomas.
That sounds like a deal.
All right. So keep it right there, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
At Siena Heights University.
Welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. And we want to welcome Thomas into the show. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going okay. It's going okay. But I think the people out there would probably want to know how it's going with you than how it's going with me. You know, I'm just like, you know. So how's it going? Well, let's start from the beginning, from my perspective. First of all, what year of study are you in at Siena Heights?
So I'm a senior here in my fourth year at Siena Heights University. I've been here all 4 years. I've enjoyed every minute of it, and we're looking forward to my fourth year here at the school, and we're just getting going into conference play, and we're hoping to get some big wins here in the next couple weeks to move on and try to get into the WAC tournament moving up here. So,
are you on track to graduate this spring?
I am, yes. I'm a biology student here at the school, and luckily I've made it through the 4 years, so yes, I'll be on track to graduate.
So have you decided on what you might be doing here after you graduate?
So after I graduate, I'm hoping to go to graduate school. I'm either looking to go somewhere here in Michigan or back home. I'm from Western Canada, so possibly going somewhere over there. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities with my degree, so I'm hoping I can utilize that in the future and pursue further education.
Okay. Western Canada, where are we speaking of?
Okay, we're speaking of the faraway land of Calgary, Alberta. I'm sure not many people know where that is, but it's above Montana, I use as reference. So.
Uh-huh. You're out there, Banff National Park, Lake Louise, that area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's about 45 minutes away from me. Yeah, most people know that area.
Yeah, I went there a long time ago. I mean, there were no people. There was so few people out there. We got to camp right on the shore of Lake Louise, which I know doesn't happen anymore. But so that's what a trek. How did this happen that you wound up here at Siena Heights?
Well, like Coach K said earlier, when you're getting out of high school, you know, all want to do is leave the house and you know, go explore or travel. And for me, it was I really wanted to play baseball here in the U.S. I thought there'd be some great opportunities, and one of my old coaches happened to be a graduate assistant coach here at Siena Heights, and he directed me to the school, and I got in contact with Coach K, and from there, I just love the school. I love the small atmosphere here at Siena Heights. I really enjoy the atmosphere in Adrian. It's a small town, yet there's still everything around, and it's a great time here, yeah.
Well, like I said, wow, what a jaunt. How often, or it's not really a word, unoften, do you get back home?
So I get back home every summer and winter for Christmas break and for the summer break. I got here, and many people remember the COVID days. I got here just when COVID was starting, so that made it a little more difficult. So I had to spend a couple summers here. But luckily that that's over. My parents have been able to come down to watch some baseball. And, yeah, so I go home every once in a while. My parents love to come and watch the games. And so, yeah, it's a great time.
So how do you get home?
I get home. I have a old 1996 Chevrolet Tahoe.
Oh,
and
no.
A lot of my kids make fun of it, but I think it's the greatest vehicle in the world. And so that's how I get home. Every once in a while I'll fly, but I like to drive personally. I think it's a great drive across all those northern states. A lot of cool scenery, so that's generally the motive or the way that I get back and forth.
I'm just going to take a stab. I don't know. What is it? Something like, how many hours? 20?
About 30.
I was not even good in math. 30 hours. Wow. That's a haul. Can't imagine. I mean, I've done some of that. I took a trip. My son used to be an executive chef at Denali National Park in Alaska. And one year when he was going back to work, I drove out with him as far as Boise, Idaho, and I flew back, and he still had 3,000 miles to go. So
it's a far way, yeah.
Yeah, wide open spaces doesn't even come close. All right, well, let's get to some more things about baseball. What's your position on the club?
So I'm the left fielder. I'm a pretty big guy, however, so I find myself in the DH position quite a bit. Last year I found myself trying to be the cleanup hitter. On the team, a lot of the guys are seniors, and we've had a lot of development being veterans of the club. And, you know, we've all kind of found our role on the team, and I think mine's more of, you know, trying to support and drive in a runner at third base or something to that extent. So
you're either in the outfield or you're DHing in the lineup. So has it always been that way pretty much from the start, or?
I came here as a left fielder, first baseman. Due to us needing different positions and different players, guys move around and we figure out where guys can play and can't play. And it just, it worked out best that I was in the outfield, and I've liked it ever since. You know, it's a fun time out there. I don't have to worry about the hard hit ground balls anymore. I just have to sit out there and catch them in left. So
you were a left fielder, and you've always been in that position on the club. You said that you're a big guy. Are you bigger now than when you first came to Siena?
Yes, I am. I can thank the university cafeteria for that one. But yeah, a lot of the guys on the team, we're seeing a lot of, like from when I was a first year here at the school, there's been a lot of strength increase. You know, I've seen a lot of the guys here, you know, that have gotten way bigger, way stronger. And that also reflects in the game. You know, 2 years ago, some guys that, you know, you would never think could hit doubles, now they're just hitting doubles all, like, often, or they're able to drive for home runs, a lot of guys on the team.
So you think that the club has, the potential for multiple hitters to maybe hit home runs this season?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even, you know, we had our center fielder, Gino Hutchinson, he led our season off with two home runs.
Nice.
Beginning of the season in Florida. And, you know, you'd look at him, and some people would think maybe he's not a home run hitter, but the kid's got a lot of power, and there's a lot of other guys that I know historically and now can drive for power. But the big thing this year is, especially for the hitting and the pitching, but we have a lot of depth. We have a lot of talent, and that talent is not only just young talent, but we have a lot of developed talent. And we're seeing how we can use that this year. And with that depth, make a run for the WAC tournament. Historically, that's always been something in recent time we've been striving to work towards, and we're hoping now that'll become a reality and that we can pursue that goal.
Well, when you start out the beginning of the season, obviously, outside of the trip down south, it's cold up here. Is that something you have to get used to between your hands in the middle and the metal bat and the cold?
For me personally, not so much. I've always lived in the cold. In fact, I really like it, and a lot of my teammates disagree with me on that, for sure. But we also got guys from the warmer areas, like California or further down south. So I'm sure for them, it's a lot more of a difficult change. But I don't think it's not super difficult to, like, get used to it on the metal bat. You know, there's things you can do to warm up before the game. We're always trying to stay warm, stay agile, so that when you come up to bat or if you get pinched hit or something like that, you're not, you know, super cold and you're having to get warm all of a sudden. So that's not a huge issue. The other day we did play a game here at Adrian, and it was a cold day. We got to about the seventh inning, and it was extremely cold. And it's always something to be aware of in Adrian, Michigan, for sure, for people that are coming up to this area.
Well, there's a question I've been wanting to ask. Does the ball travel farther south of the Mason-Dixon line, or is it actually travel farther up here?
It's tough to say. I'm not 100% sure. From my personal experience, I find that the ball flies farther here. I think that's maybe just because there's less humidity, less, mm-hmm. It's colder. I think that's kind of maybe the science behind it. Generally, though, I think up here, the thing up here, though, I find is that there's a lot stronger winds. So depending on where you're playing, sometimes the ball or the wind is in your favor, and, you know, you'll have games where there's 6 to 10 home runs. Sometimes the wind's just going right against the batter, and you find yourself with no home runs, or it's tough to drive for power. So you have to kind of play the short game and hit for just base hits.
So, in games that you're DHing, do you have a routine that you do not only before the game, but while you're in the dugout, either while you're either up to bat or you're in the field? Do you have a routine you go through?
The routine that I go through is pretty, it's pretty small and monotonous, but it involves, like, certain stuff that I'm doing while I'm warming up. like making sure that my bat's, you know, facing the right way. When I'm getting up to the plate, I'm always stretching the same way, tapping both sides of the plate. And I think every player in baseball altogether has kind of something that they do going up to the plate. I'm sure pitchers, I'm not a pitcher myself, but I'm sure all pitchers have something they do in order to feel that they're ready for the game. And that kind of plays into the point that baseball is a game of repetition. And being able to repeat that repetition just makes you feel that much more confident and that much more ready to do your job during the game. And so, yeah, I think that's a big part of, you know, any player's game at this level.
Well, I'm assuming that to the best that you can do it, that you're able to get some kind of scouting information on the teams that you're playing?
Sometimes, yeah. In recent years, that's become much more prevalent in baseball. That's not just at the college level or the MLB. I think that's high school or any level. There's all these new resources that teams can use for scouting reports and stuff like that. I know that just from playing people in the past, you start to pick up. Like, I've been playing the same people, some of them for 2-3 years, and I'm starting to pick up on different keys about them. Like, oh, this guy's a push guy, or this guy likes to pull the ball. And so the coach is able to, you know, move players around to where they think the ball is most likely coming. But it all depends team to team. I personally don't know about all the scouting reports and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm an outfielder, so my job is to shift left and right when I think someone's going to pull the ball or push the ball, and hope that when I'm up to bat, they're not playing the shift on me. So,
do you? I mean, you get the opportunity to maybe try and match the scouting report on the pitcher based to what they're actually doing, at least early in the game.
Generally, the trend of what is said on the scouting reports, I'm sure, would correlate to what happens in real life or early in the game. One of the big things for sure is different types of swings, different types of pitches. For instance, like when a hitter comes up to hit, you can generally tell by the way their swing is if they can hit the outside pitch very well or if they can drive the inside pitch. And so that's like a lot of sports, or like everyone has their own weakness depending on how they develop, and everyone has their own strengths. And so part of the job of like the scouting report or trying to, you know, look at other hitters is to find those weak spots and try to use that to our advantage. To, you know, if someone doesn't hit the high fastball, we'll keep pounding the high fastball until they can prove that they can hit it. So,
okay, well, being a veteran club, can you kind of talk a little bit about the leadership on the club, and have there been multiple guys that you have been with going on all year's fourth year in the program?
Yeah, we have a good group of seniors and leadership on the team. Some notable guys on the team that really provide that leadership and make the difference. Cole Van Wachenova, Matt Love, Kenny Lehman. Those are just some of the names, like Coach K has mentioned, that they lead by example on the team. And throughout the years here, they've repeatedly shown that they can get the job done, and that we should strive to also try to, you know, support them, not only them, but also our pitchers and the rest of the team, in order to try to help everyone out, because this game isn't won by one person. Everyone kind of has to do the job. Like our assistant coach always says, the game can change in 2-3 plays. So as long as everyone's kind of doing their own job and trying to get everything done, it really helps to try to move the game along into our favor.
Well, you know, college students, they talk about the lifelong friendships that they develop going to college. Does it get amplified when you're on a sports team like this?
Oh, for sure. You know, everything you do inside of baseball and also outside of baseball is generally with the team. You know, the guys that I've known here will be my lifelong friends for sure. And not only just in baseball, but, you know, probably 10, 20 years out or down the line. Every year we have alumni dinner, and a lot of alumni will come back. And this year we had the a special one of the top 50 players in Siena baseball in the last 50 years. They all came down. But a lot of those guys were friends, and you could see the friendship and kind of the bond between them show. And I think for me personally, that's something that I've always liked here at Siena is the close bond of the team. You know, going on those Florida trips as well, that brings the team a lot together. And we kind of learn a lot about each other, and we learn about, stuff that's going on in each other's lives. And, you know, that kind of translates to baseball and to show how we can strive to be the most successful and try to help each other out.
Do you normally set some kind of goals for yourself as far as the team is concerned each year?
Of course, yeah. In terms of baseball, I try to do my job every day. For my personal goal, I have goals of, you know, trying to help out the team with RBIs or trying to get extra base hits. As well, you know, a big part of the college environment is to set academic goals for yourself as well. Historically, our team, we've been very good academically, so we try to help each other out doing that because you can't play on the baseball field if, you know, you're struggling academically. So we all try to set goals for ourselves there. As a team this year, the general goal this year is to make a difference and to really strive for the WAC tournament. Like I mentioned, it's a big feat that every year, you know, we think we can make, but we've always been plagued with injuries or other faults. And so this year we're really trying to strive, and with all the talents and depth that we've brought in and also developed here at the team, that's definitely the goal for the team. And if everyone does their job this year, it's looking more and more likely that we might be able to succeed that this year.
Well, Thomas, can you and Coach Kolesinski, can you hang on for a few more minutes, and we'll get to a commercial break, and we'll come back for the last segment of the show.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Attention all students, parents, and educators. It's that time of year again, back to school season. Are you ready to start the new academic year with blazing fast internet? Look no further than D&P Communications, your local internet service provider.
Whether you're attending school on campus or from the comfort of your home, with D&P, you get up to gig speeds from a company you can trust. Switch to D&P Communications by visiting our website or calling 800-311-7340.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. John Kane here with you, and we've got John Kolasinski. And Thomas, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
If I did pick it up, I lost it. Your last name.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What was your last name again?
My last name was Backaway.
Backaway?
Yes, Backaway, as in back away from me.
So that's a fine last name. Do you ever do that in the batter's box? Backaway?
Maybe I should start. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk. We just mentioned it. Let's talk a little more about your upcoming games. Once again, we want to tell people it's going to be Thursday, Saturday, right? This weekend, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So what time is the Thursday ball game?
The Thursday ball game, I believe, is 1 o'clock. No, it'll be a doubleheader, so the next game after that will follow shortly. It's generally around 4 o'clock.
Okay. And how about Saturday?
Saturday is also 1 o'clock, and then there'll be a game right after that one as well. The first game is 7 innings in conference play, and the second game is 9 innings. So.
Okay, and so we're just telling everybody out there, because this is because of the Easter weekend that the games are being played the way they are, right?
Correct, yes.
Because I knew a little bit about that. I was an altar boy for the sisters. I was an altar boy for the sisters when I was at St. Joseph Academy and beyond. From the first grade all the way through my 10th grade in high school, I served Mass for the sisters out at Holy Rosary Chapel and Lumen Chapel. So I have a pretty good idea of how the Good Friday and Easter Sunday works out there.
Yeah, you might even know more about Siena than we do.
No. it was, you know, the sisters, they tried to make me right-handed in high school or in grade school back then. They kind of did that back in the 50s. But, I was getting through, and I managed. But actually, it was, as it turned out in the end, it was a wonderful experience. I just didn't know it at the time. You know how those go. So, yeah, so that's interesting right there. I think the weather forecast so far is going to be, I think, fairly good. We're looking at around temperatures in the 50s, so that's not too bad, right?
Knock on wood. As long as it doesn't rain or it stays above 28, we're here to play, and we'll play through everything. We've played through very cold, snowy weather. So 50 degrees, it'll be just fine for playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys' mindset. If it's not, you know, like a downpour, you want to get the game in, because you don't want to get backed up sometime later.
Right? Oh yeah, so we're pretty busy with the conference games. Like Coach said, we'll have 4 to 5 a week. So delaying two of them will put that strain on you know, the schedule, so we try to make it work if we can, of course.
So who's the opponents? Are they both the same opponents Thursday and Saturday?
They're not. So on Thursday we play Rochester, and that's at home, and then on Saturday we go away to Aquinas, and that's up by Grand Rapids, so that'll be a fun little drive up there, and then we're back for Easter Sunday.
Oh, that's great. Fans need to get out there Thursday afternoon, 1 o'clock, and catch a couple of ball games and see the Saints go at it with Rochester. Where Rochester and then you get, boy, that between Good Friday and Easter, you play the Saints too. Or is that wrong? Did I get that wrong? Did you say Aquinas?
Right, so it'll be the Saints that will play on. It'll be the Saints versus the Saints on Saturday. Yeah.
Well, that's the way to do it. That's absolutely the way to do it there. So have you been able to gather some information on both Rochester and Aquinas as far as what they've done so far this season?
Yeah, John, we do have our Rochester is actually playing today, making up from the weekend with Concordia, and is Aquinas. Aquinas is also playing today, too, making up with Lawrence Tech from the weekend. So we do have a scouting report that we will go through, and we'll sit with our club here the day before the game and go over it with our pitching, as well as with our pitchers, as how we want to pitch guys and how we want to play guys defensively, et cetera. And in today's world of technology, it's very easy to there's scouting services because everything is on the internet that you can subscribe to, so you can find out hitting tendencies, et cetera. And just about every college program now subscribes to them. So you can see if a guy's a pull hitter or he's a spray hitter. You can tell by the scouting report what a pitcher might use more often on his first pitch to a hitter, those types of things. So we will sit with our club and go over that before our games, and hopefully that'll prepare us to win a couple ball games on Thursday and a couple games on Saturday as well.
Well, I mean, especially in the springtime, but it seems like this is just the way, I don't know, the planet is working, but there's more wind to contend with now. And you have to play for that, right?
Yeah, I think many years ago I had a fellow coach who was a good friend said that the one equalizer in the game is the wind. It's not temperature or sun or anything, but it's wind. And wind can affect the game tremendously. You know, we were watching the JV guys here play tonight, Coach Mount made the statement as they're playing too far, they're playing too deep with the wind blowing in from right field. We have a southerly wind here. And he says they have to learn to adjust to it. And if you don't, then the ball may fall in. Well, you know, it's going to get knocked down by the wind. So you can take a couple steps in and adjust with the wind. Or it's blown out, maybe you take a couple steps back and play your defensive back that way along the line. So wind can play a huge, huge effect in the game. Also affects the way the spin rate of a curveball, a fastball. If it's blown in the pitcher's face or if it's blown against his back, that can make a difference too. No question about it.
And so can your pitchers, when they're warming up before the start of the game, can they kind of get a feel for I don't know. Because normally when they warm up, are they warming up at a different angle than what they would be on the mound?
Well, John, see, now you hit one of the in and outs of college baseball, Jeff, the little things that can happen. They should be throwing at the same angle. The bullpens should be going at, if your bullpen is in right field, on the right field foul line like us, then you're throwing the same angle as you would at home. Or if you're in left field, you can be in your left field foul line, or I shouldn't say foul line, but warning track, it would be the same angle. But you can go to some fields that it is not that way. If you're throwing outside, out in left center or right center, you're throwing at a completely different angle. In some places you will go to, the home bullpen will be the only one that's throwing at the right angle, and the visiting bullpen is throwing at a different angle.
Oh, so that's a home field advantage, right?
Field advantage, and there are schools and coaches that do that on purpose, too. That is done on purpose. That it is made to go a different way so that you don't have that feeling of how the game is being played or how the pitcher's throwing at a different angle. So you have to adjust to it when you get to the mound, the game mound.
Well, I think it's so interesting because, you know, we can feel it just walking around, and you can't play for a gust, can you? You don't know when that's going to happen.
No, you don't. You don't. And on our diamond here, you know, we sit down a little bit, so you can be. We're kind of in a, if you want to call it, a little hole or something like that. So when the ball gets up above that, it's going to react differently than the wind that you're getting into your face or behind your back there. Maybe stronger, maybe weaker. You just don't know because we're down. We're not getting that full force of the wind into us at that point.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on the show today and want to wish everybody the best of luck in the Siena Heights baseball program this year. And go Saints. Thanks again.
Thanks, John. Have a great night.
All righty, you too. Okay, that was John Kolesinski and Thomas Step Back on the Siena Heights Saints Sports Show, Siena Heights Weekly. So join us again, once again, Monday night at 6 p.m. here, right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.